Hello. You have reached the voice mailbox. Did I fool you? No. No. Okay. Are you on mute right now, perhaps?
We are young. Love is a softball field.
Anne, can you hear me?
Oh, yep, gotcha.
Hi. Oh, shit. Hi. Should I recall you?
No, we'll just leave that in. I said some things.
My headphone was, like, just a smidge unplugged, so I didn't hear anything.
Wait, mine was a smidge unplugged. Weird.
Oh, my God.
I actually was trying to do a joke where I was saying, hello, you have reached the voicemail box. And then I thought it'd be really funny if I recorded, like, a really convincing outgoing mail message thing that was, like, hey, we're back. Like, tell, you know, and then it was like, leave your message. Anyway, I ruined the prank by telling you that was going to happen, but.
That would have been a really good prank.
Keep on your toes.
It actually really stresses me out. I have a few friends who have voicemails who are like trick voicemails.
Ugh.
It's just a terrible way to be.
No, it is. And also, like, if an employer calls, maybe that's someone who's like steadily employed.
Yeah.
Or not, I guess.
Because or, like, those other people who, like, get a separate phone for...
Oh, a burner phone?
...being employed. No, like, remember how Kelly had an extra iPhone?
Oh, yeah. Mystery. Yeah, International mystery.
I don't really know how being employed works.
No, I don't. I can't imagine that you would. How do people contact you if they have job offers, exactly?
One we have yet to see.
Okay. Well, let me know.
No, my cell phone.
No.
Or
okay,
my
so that,
or
that's,
via LinkedIn.
That old ancient brick still works. Okay. I got you.
There's a phone coming out that they're marketing it as a dumb phone, which I think is really funny. It's like not a smartphone.
Oh, I'm into that.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it's like going back to the basics, and it's just, like, a little keypad, and I think you probably T9 on it.
QWERTY. That's funny. Interesting.
What were you going to say?
Something really important to talk to you about.
Mm.
My pee-pee came.
Yes! Okay,
For those that didn't understand what that meant... my passion planner came in the mail.
It's a joke stemming from a few weeks ago when you were trying to schedule a podcast with me, and I was like, I'll put it in my pee-pee. And we both were like, what?
I think it works, though. Bottom line is, my pee-pee came.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Have you set your goals yet?
Okay, I don't really, like, didn't want to get down with the long-term goals, per se. I'm trying to see in the room where mine's not here, but I'm kind of starting to think that, like, any anxiety I had in the last year and a half was simply a lack of writing things down.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I have been a task machine in the last week and a half. Granted, school hasn't, like, really gone into full swing yet, but I just, like, write stuff down. Is that... Am I saying that right? Write stuff down. I write stuff down.
I don't understand what your question is.
I think it just sounds weird coming off the tip of my tongue.
I was listening back to one of our earlier podcasts that I was editing, and I was reminded that I was saying that, like, a potential goal for you, because you're like, how do I not make work school, how do I not have school take over my life? And I was like, well, maybe one thing you could do is limit your amount of studying time, like, cap it off.
Maybe, yeah, and just accept ignorance.
Yeah.
I actually am, so I'm in my program, we have, like, a lot of core classes, and last semester was all core classes, so it was all aggressive group classes, which was very stressful, because you have no control over that. This semester, I only have two, and I'm determined not to care about them, because on the side, I'm maybe going to be able to do a couple of, like, independent-type studies, which would be very cool.
Like what?
Well, I have to propose a topic, but one of the things I wanted to study was my classy title of the course would be Ideology, Values, and Changing One's Mind. So basically, how do we form values, and what's the developmental psychology to that?
Mm-hmm.
And how do people stick with their values, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
There's just one potential there.
Amazing.
But it's a totally different way to engage in schoolwork, so I think it's going to be a little different.
That leads me right into what I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh.
So
and guys, we did not plan this. We are a low-budget podcast. Our scheduling time is
low
minimal.
Budget. Very low budget.
I'm not even paying for internet.
Really?
No, I am. Just that was a joke.
I didn't know if you were on like a school network or something.
No, that'd be funny though. I should consider that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I got my dad this book for Christmas and then stole it before he could read it.
I did that myself. Go on.
And it's called We Are Our Brains. Mm. And it's a neurobiography of the brain from the womb to Alzheimer's.
Get out.
And it is so fascinating. And so, like, for the past two times we've podcasted, right after we hung up, when I was thinking about our conversation, I was like, oh, shoot, I meant to bring this up. Yeah. So, like,
what does the book say about your brain's inability to bring it up?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
Or I forgot it, based on
understood
all my concussions. So the chapter 3 is sexual differentiation of the brain in the womb, and so that's the topic that was reminding me that I wanted to bring up. But it basically talks about, there's like a whole section called gender-based differences in the womb and like how female and male brains look different. And then how,
what?
Further from that, how straight and gay and trans male brains are different from each other, and straight and gay and trans female brains are different from each other. So, like, there are all these structural differences, which is really interesting because
get
it's, like...
Get out!
Yeah, like, and this dude is a leading neuroscientist who has, like, he published a ton of groundbreaking research on the fetal brain. But
should I be flattered or should I be taken aback by this?
Well, he said there's a section here that was response to my research on sexuality and gender, because people were kind of up in arms about it because it went against certain ethos, I guess, of like, I don't know what the argument against that would be. Just that,
I can imagine
saying that we're different is bad.
Right. I can imagine that the difference would be like, if that part of your brain is different, then what other part of your brain is different, you know?
Right. Or just like implying that it's like a, yeah, like it's not like we're a disease, but
a non-human brain somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I think it's really interesting because it's basically just hard proof that being gay, like, you know, it's so Lady Gaga, we're born this way. But it's, like, you can't, like, basically, you can't turn somebody gay. Like, you just cannot because, like, all of this evidence points to the fact that your sexual orientation is developed in the second half of pregnancy in the womb.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, basically there's zero, although it's frequently assumed that development after birth also importantly affects our sexual orientation, there's no proof of this whatsoever. Children brought up by lesbians aren't more likely to be homosexual, nor is there any evidence at all for the misconception that homosexuality is a lifestyle choice.
Interesting. This is actually good. I could use this in conversation in order to make friends. Like, guys, scientifically proven, you're not going to catch it.
This is how you're not going to catch it.
That must be why I'm not making friends, right?
Yeah, I think this will definitely help.
Okay.
As on, the first thing you should bring up in a conversation with a new person is, don't worry, you're not going to catch it.
You won't catch it.
Don't give them any context. Yeah, but it's, like, it's so interesting. It talks about, like, even the way that they do brain scans of, like, straight people and gay people and, like, show them different erotic images or, like, give them the sense of different hormones. And, like, it says that, like, lesbian women were found to react differently to pheromones than heterosexual women. Pheromones stimulates activity in the hypothalamus of heterosexual women and homosexual men, but doesn't provoke a response in heterosexual men. So it's just, it's super, super interesting. And that's only one chapter. Like, so then also, what you were just talking about, there's an entire chapter which I have not yet gotten to because it's, like, several hundred pages in and I'm a very slow reader, is, like, there's a section on free will, and then there's also a section on religion.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and, let's see, what's the title of that section? Sorry.
I might have to use this book in some of my very sophisticated research coming up.
I know, well, you could, like, maybe base, you should read it, and then that might help you.
Yeah.
Base some of your research.
Definitely.
So there's one of the chapters is neurotheology, the brain and religion. Why are so many people religious? The evolutionary advantage of religion.
Right.
The religious brain, a better world without religion, question mark.
I have always had this pondering cue in my brain, which was, because I'm an atheist or spiritual, but not really, you know, I don't believe in a figure. I'm more about nature and weird hippie shit like that. And, I also have anxiety a little bit, which I'm sure I've mentioned several times. And, I always wondered if me being a religious somehow put me at a disadvantage in terms of, like, anxiety. Because if you think about it, I knew that my anxiety started setting in as soon as I had to make my own decisions and, like, my life wasn't planned out for me. And some parts of religion are, here is a plan. God is a plan.
Totally.
So I kind of wonder if that is one of, like, there's a correlation between being anxious and not having a higher power.
That's interesting, but I think it could probably pretty quickly get disproved by finding all the anxious people who are religious.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you use statistical analysis to, like, the proportions would be different. But, yeah, anyway.
I mean, I do think, though, I think that's probably the answer to chapter 15, why are so many people religious? Like, I think that we're biologically programmed to, like, I think it's very comforting for us to believe in, like, rules and order. Yeah, exactly.
I think we do not like disorder, which is tough.
And obviously, like, the evolutionary advantage would probably have to do with the fact that it, you know, establishes leadership and, like, creates fear of doing bad things and all that.
And there's lots of money in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If this podcast goes really well, we got
we're joining a church.
Following.
Or we'll just start a church.
No, we could start a church.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll do that.
What would our church be called?
Whoa. That's it. That was it.
Whoa.
Oh, boy. So now that we are, we've been working on some of our, like, socials this week.
Oh, my God.
And, now that we're famous and we've gotten some followers that I don't know, and maybe they're friends of yours, but unbeknownst to me.
Probably friends of mine.
I can either confirm nor deny that the people that I don't know on our Instagram are friends with you. I think it's time that I, make a personal announcement, and, if Taylor Freeman is listening to this, I'm a big fan of your internet work, and you should give me a call sometime.
Who is that?
She is a former BuzzFeed producer, and she is
super
cute.
Oh, you showed me her.
Yep.
You are a fan of her.
I am. So, you know, just hit me back, DM the team, and...
DM the team. Yeah, we have social accounts, and we also have a website, loveisasoftballfield.com, and you can email us.
And yeah, you can.
Ask us intimate questions.
Which is good, because we're running out of things to talk about. Actually,
we're
not.
There's only so much of this neurobiography of the brain that I can read aloud.
Our next 20 minutes will be Maddie reading excerpts. I actually am really glad I'm back at school, because I was really worried about my capacity to, like, continue these conversations. at home just because it was a little more vacation. And now all of a sudden I just have like tons of
your capacity to carry on a 30-minute conversation with me
is much larger. Yeah. Okay, no, it's well, because it's because I have a lot more stimuli now. So like books for class, and I went to I'll talk about this one class in a second. And so all these things are happening.
What are you saying? Slam class?
What?
What did you say? Slam class?
Slam class? No.
You said I'll talk about
books. I think I said books and class, and I'll talk about this one class in a second.
Oh, this one class.
Yeah, and it wasn't a slam class. In fact, it was the opposite. The class is called Women at Work, and it's all about sexism in the workplace and feminism and overcoming that.
Very cool.
Yep. I'm not sure I'm allowed to take it. It's an undergrad class.
Really?
Honestly, it has like twice as much reading as any of my classes in my program have had. So
are grad students and master students not supposed to intermingle? Like, you're supposed to be in all different classes?
You mean undergrad class? Yeah, undergrad?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so what'll happen is senior undergrads will like take these upper levels and be like, I took my grad level course, you know? But we're definitely not supposed to go backwards. The thing is, however, there's a new dynamic, which is I go to these classes, and when they're full, I'll go to the teacher and say, hey, I'm a master's student. I'm not sure if, like, I'm even allowed to sit in the class or take this class. And she'll be like, well, just come join us, because I think they assume that, like, I'll write something and maybe quote them or something, you know, something like that.
Okay.
I think the capacity for faculty members to, like, appreciate grad students is a lot different than undergrads.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And also, that wouldn't apply to the situation, but in general, teachers, grad students will serve as research assistants, so they have a more mutualistic relationship with the grad students. Anyway, basically, I walked into, like, four different undergrad classes, and I was like, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be here, and they were like, oh, do whatever you want, and I was like, great.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're just, like, you're just trying to stay in school forever.
Well, so I was thinking that, and then I found out that I'd have to stay an additional 5 years for a PhD, so I think I'm just gonna work for a while.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, don't sound disappointed.
That. Well, I wanted you to be a doctor. Oh, Dr. Krabs.
Yikes. Well,
why,
we'll see.
Why did you just pause so long before laughing?
I was drinking tea when that happened.
I was like,
she didn't like it.
That one podcast that we did, the one that we threw out, when I was listening back to it, there was such a delay because my service was so bad in my bedroom at home.
Oh, boy.
And so it's so hard to listen to because I would say something and I could, like, just picture myself, like, smiling and, like, leaning forward and be like, is she gonna laugh? Is she gonna laugh? And then you'd be like,
ha. That was a messy one. I think we were so excited about the first one that we just weren't really sure what to what to do.
Well, that's where our dear listeners come in. We really do want to have, like, some questions or topic suggestions, anything thrown out, because, you know, we're just wells of conversation. We could talk about anything.
Can you say what the word is that you said again?
What?
We're a dwell of conversation?
Wells. We are wells.
Wells. Oh, yeah. We could talk for hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, no one knows this, but as soon as we hang up, we then get on the phone.
Yeah.
And talk for another hour.
It's true. So I was reading our description, and a prominent part of it was your red state Tinder escapades.
Oh, yes, yes.
I feel like we have a little bit of distance now from your most recent Tinder fling that we should talk about it.
We could, yeah. So, this is funny, actually, because I resolved myself to not try to date anyone in North Carolina this year, but... Can I tell you another anecdote?
Yeah, sure.
I told my therapist that 2017 is not the year that I'm going to worry about my finding my wife, right? I was like,
yeah.
At the end of the year, if I need to get back on track with my whole life plan, like, I will. My secret plan is that will not be necessary, but 2017 is not the year that I need to worry about finding my wife and soulmate.
I love that so much, and I'm stealing that as my goal, but
please,
mine is saving for a home, not finding
this
a wife.
This is part of our church doctrine. Anyway, I tell her this, and I'm super excited because I feel like it kind of attacks all of the angles of the way that I worry. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
my therapist goes. And I have to tell you, at this point, I'm not sure that she is the therapist for me. She says, oh, cool, cool. But, you know, there's a lot more to dating than just finding your wife. It's, about spending time with someone and really enjoying someone's company and not being alone all the time and, having fun with someone. And I was like... literally, you just, I'm pretty sure you must have broken some sort of rule.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't think it's allowed.
Yeah.
I am sure that one of the things they teach you is to not try and rub in...
rub in.
Someone's... That'd be like if someone whose, parent died came in and they were like, you know, I think I've decided to stop thinking about it. And they're like, you know... I bet you miss having a dad. That's fucked up.
I hate to compare.
It's not the same at all, but...
Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. I actually sat next to this girl on the plane when I was flying home for Christmas, and she was, about 30, and she was getting her master's in psychology and was training to be a therapist.
Oh!
And so I was asking her all about her study, and she was saying that they have different fields of study.
Yeah.
And, her one that she was focused on was, I forget the exact name, but it's, a story-based type of therapy.
Mm.
And so her goal is to help you, find your narrative.
Yeah.
And so basically you talk about, all these things, and you kind of pick out what you're allowing to define you right now.
Right.
Oh, I'm a victim of this, or I have this anxiety, or, that's part of your narrative. And then the goal is to just, try to find the other parts and to, really enhance those and to, bring them out that way.
I'm totally
And then she also, she also was a yoga teacher to pay her way through school, and she was talking about how she's used that. And so basically she just seemed, really smart and, young and
badass.
On the cutting edge of all of this. And then I was talking to her, and I was like, yeah, well, I started going to therapy this year, basically, I mean, you know this, but, to our listeners, I was like, I think I probably have some, residual trauma from coming out. I should have been in therapy at the time when I did come out, and, I think I just need to. I just have a lot of guilt and anger about, mm-hmm. the way that I came out and, you know,
right.
All that. So I was like, I should probably go to therapy. That would be the responsible adult healthy thing to do. And so I did. And my therapist was like, she's cool. She's like this older gay woman, which is nice. I feel like she just doesn't, she's definitely breaking rules. I don't think she's doing it right. And so then the last two therapy sessions that I went to in November, I didn't really have anything to talk about. And, my friend who has been in therapy for forever, I kind of talked to her when I was trying to find my therapist. And then I've been like, yeah, I'm not sure if this lady is the right one for me. And she was like, you know what? It's so easy. They'll guide you through it. You know, they'll help you talk, whatever. And so then I went in one day and I was like, I don't really have anything on my mind. But, I guess that's her job is to, figure out what's wrong with
me. Right.
And so we, sat there and I was like, yeah, I don't know. Everything feels pretty good right now. I've had a good week. And she's like, oh, nice. And then I was like, yeah, sorry, I don't really, have something. And she's like, it's okay. And then we just sat there, and I was like,
ugh.
And we were both just, nodding like this, kind of smiling. Yeah. And then she
was, you said as if I could see you nodding, but that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but I was hoping that
I've seen a nod. I think I remember one of those, so I put it.
Remember one of those. But so we both are silent, and we're, nodding and smiling, and then she goes, so have you seen any good movies lately?
Oh, my my God.
I was like, oh my God, fuck this. I need a new therapist. And so then I was like, oh my God, how do I
break up with a therapist?
Yes, how do I break up with her? I need a therapist to figure out how to break up with my therapist.
I know. I'm very stressed out about the situation. I think I'm going to, I might, and it's not that I don't really like her as a person. I just, for me, the thing that really helps me is, like, understanding the very, like, sophisticated and large structure of, like, social interaction. Like, all, I like the big picture. I like to know how the whole model works.
Right.
And she's very good at behavioral therapy, which is just, like, how you repractice, right? And I was telling her about my app called Happify that had, like, different instructions. Like, here, listen to this, or type out a blurb that you would talk to yourself as if you were a friend kind of thing. And she's like, oh, yes, that's called, like, the like, reverse double standard therapy. And I was like, oh, so you know a lot about that kind of shit, but, like, I'm not getting
Why don't you do it?
Yeah. So my roommate redecorated my room while I was gone, which was
so sweet.
An awe-inspiring moment. And my roommate she's not, Leah, you're not listening to this right now, I'm sure, but she's amazing. And she doesn't warm up to everyone at first. So everyone is, like, very touched when she displays love for me because you know that she doesn't like that many people. But if you're a friend of Leah's, I'm sure she loves you. And and she painted little letters from Target, and it's WWND, and it's "What Would Nancy Do?" And Nancy's my San Francisco therapist, and we just have a Bible to her.
That's hilarious.
And I was showing the pictures to my therapist, and thank God she didn't ask who Nancy was, or what the N was, I guess. But she did put a little terrarium with a little homemade rainbow flag in it, which was just adorable.
Yeah, that's so cute. Wow.
Yeah. Maybe we can post something to our socials.
Oh, yeah, we totally should.
Yes.
So can't you just Skype with Nancy? How come you can't? Why do you need two therapists? No.
So I had one phone call with her last year that I swear to God in 40 minutes illuminated everything to me. but I think that I feel like she would say, like, hey, if you're not that keen on this person, why don't we just set it? You know, she hasn't really offered that. So I think it's reserved for a different scenario, I guess. But I'm feeling pretty good. Like, this year, I feel like I'm kind of, like, psyching myself, which is good.
Yeah.
I feel a lot better this year than I did last year, obviously, for a number of reasons.
Totally.
Anyway, yeah. And also the weather. So right now, Durham had a snowstorm last weekend, but is now 70 degrees outside.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's perfect because my look is, like, in season right now. Like,
Burly...
No, because winter...
That's
offensive
word, I'm sorry.
In the winter, I look like a standard, like, white girl, basically. Which is, like, okay. In the summer, I definitely own my gayness, I'd say. Like my pineapple button down t-shirt is something. But right now is the season where I can wear pants, my little booties, and my like button down Oxford shirt. And I swear, I just look so good.
Wow. Can you post a picture of that? Can we put that on our
I would love to. Yeah. No, it's definitely like my look is just killing it right now.
Okay. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Solid 9 or 10, I'd say. Leah would say 6 or 7, but whatever. Leah once said to me, I might have said this already, but she said, God, your personality is a solid 10. So, like, you're looking at an average about 7. And I was like, wait a minute. I know my math, Leah.
But she sounds funny. I like her.
I think you would like her.
Can you really quickly go over some of this Twinder?
Twinder. Oh.
Tinder.
The old Twinder. No, there's really... So I went to D.C. for a little bit of a job, like a class-wide job trip. Nothing happened, so I didn't get any jobs. But I saw, like, at least 4 or 5 hot girls, and I was like, okay. You know, they're out there. And I immediately get back to North Carolina, and it's just, like, a disaster zone. So nothing's going on. I had a date before I went home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, that was okay. I was nervous for it, and then I went, and I, like, executed it perfectly, or in the sense that, like, everything went smoothly. And she wasn't someone, she was someone that I maybe wanted to, like, spend one more date with, but, like, not much longer than that. So, and that's kind of awkward, right? Because it's, my derm therapist once told me that I should start acting more like a straight white male. Because
a straight
white male would go on a date with someone and then be like, no, I don't like her, like, whatever. But I'm very preoccupied with this poor girl went on a date with me and was trying to communicate with me and I wasn't interested. Like, what does that mean? Is she feeling bad? I don't know. It was just, mm-hmm. It was okay. Anyway, my answer to, like, how do I maturely handle the situation was to send her a gif of Gollum from Lord of the Rings in response to anything.
But, like, didn't you, on your first date with her, you were like, yeah, my last relationship, like, you had both been in long-term relationships, and you were like, yeah, like, I realized, like, I used to think that I wasn't an emotional person, but then I realized that I totally am.
I am, and, like, I may be smart, but really the thing is, like, I've got a great big heart, and, like, I'm a feeling person. And the next date, she was like, well, I broke up with my girlfriend. She brought up her girlfriend in the first date and then brought her up in the second date. And I was like, okay, this is clearly someone who's just been out of relationship. So I was like, how have we ever talked about this on recording or no?
I don't think so.
Okay. I said, did you just break up with someone? And she was like, yeah, like around 2 months ago. And I was like, first of all, how dare you be out here today? And they dated for 2 years, so, like, clearly it was long-term.
So she dumped her.
Yeah, she dumped her, and she described to me my breakup. Like, she described to me that her girlfriend was in California while she was in North Carolina, wanted to talk about her feelings too often. Mind you, and this girl's a law student, so, like, this is very parallel to my ex-girlfriend's, like, potential career path. And she was, like, she was... yeah, she wanted to talk about her feelings all the time, so she broke up with me because I didn't want to. And then she tried to get back together with me, and I was like, no. And I was like, oh, my God. So I said to her, you sound exactly like my ex-girlfriend. Like, this is exactly what happened to me in my breakup. I'm a feeling person. She wasn't. And yet, that did not end her attempt to go out with me. Yeah.
That's so funny. It's like Lauren sent her. Be like, here, just tell her this story and see what she does.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, I think she actually could be a good fit with Lauren. So, like, I don't know. They might be a good match. And if I was feeling really benevolent, I might set him up. Yeah.
I think the last thing we want is Lauren's happiness.
No, I mean, I wish her well. I wish her well. I just want my happiness to come first. I think she's good. I think she's doing all right. You know, I had some other things on my checklist here, but I think I can push them over to next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't believe I have to wait another week to talk to you.
No, and we definitely can't be friends other than this. Listeners, you are seeing this live and raw.
I'm glad that we agree on that. All right, well, I guess we'll catch up with everyone next week.
Wait, is there anything else that you need to talk about today? Because I feel like I'm monopolized tonight.
No, I got to read my book passages. Oh,
fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I already came up with the title of this episode in my head while you were talking.
Are you going to let me know those titles, or are you going to...
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because you know that I'm the one making the website, right? So I need
I do.
Okay.
It's How to Break Up with Your Therapist.
We didn't answer that question yet. Okay, signs. How about signs you should break up with your therapist? 17 signs that you're not in the right relationship with your therapist.
How to lose a therapist in 10 days.
Perfect.
All right. Man. Well, I really enjoyed this.
That was fun. This is good times. I think we should do it again next week.
I think so too. Okay. And please, everyone, email some shit in if you want us to talk about it, because
it's really
fun, like, imagining this conversation having more people in it.
Oh, totally. And I have been watching, like, Cheryl Strayed has her own, like, Ask Cheryl kind of column. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of feel like we would be good at that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Great uh-huh. advice givers.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week.
I feel like this, I feel sad about this a little bit.
Oh. Well, I'm going to hang up and call you, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Whisper, whisper, wait. And later. Okay, bye, Meds.
Bye.